Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, September 14th. We're back with you on a beautiful morning in LA. Actually, it's not hot today.
It's been beautiful the past couple of days. The wonderful LA breeze that I bragged to all my East Coast friends about.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love when LA is just a little bit chilly.
Yeah. Well, it has been like on the coast, you know, if you go to like Malibu and stuff, you know.
So nice.
And yeah, we went and checked out the flags at in Pepperdine. Mm. Like on September 11th, they put like flags for every victim of
the
crime.
Yeah.
And flags, you know.
That's
so
amazing.
Some people are from different countries and things like that. So
sure.
It was pretty chilly out there.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was windy. But and then, you know, I went to Long Beach.
Sure.
There it gets chilly at night, you know.
Yeah.
And here it's just like 100-degree weather. So it's crazy here in the valley, you know.
Yeah, the valley.
You're lucky
gets
you don't live
steamy.
Here, you know.
Yeah, I mean, downtown's definitely...
It gets hot, too,
It
huh?
gets hot, yeah. It's, you guys get more breeze here.
Sometimes.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, it gets so hot, you can't even get into your car. Everything's like, you can't touch the steering wheel or anything, you
I know?
Know.
My parking for my building is on a rooftop, so things get really, really hot up there, which is also crazy because people go up there and they just, I mean, what a boring run. They'll just run circles around the roof. And I'm like, you live in Los Angeles, man. Like, there's like beautiful runs everywhere. There's trails everywhere. Just like... I mean, I guess if the roof is comforting, then just do what you got
to
do.
Or maybe they don't have time to go anywhere, so they just do it, you know, right there, you know, where they live.
I guess so, but like, it's kind of the same amount of time to just walk outside as it is to walk to the roof.
Yeah, but you were talking about trails and stuff. I mean, downtown, you don't have that, do you?
We do. We have some, yeah, because we're right next to Echo Park, and there's... Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I always forget the name of this one trail. But it's, like, right around the corner. Elysian Park is about 3-5 minutes away. There's a lot of, like, little, like, small, like, man-made trails that they've made that are really cute, that seem really nature-y.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what is the name of that park? Not MacArthur. I don't remember the name, but it's a really cute park. It's right off Glendale Boulevard, somewhere between 2nd and Fig and Echo Park Lake.
Mm.
It's really, really cute.
Okay, well, sounds good. So here's to the people that run on the roof, you know?
Yeah.
We salute them.
Yeah.
They might as well get a treadmill or something, you know?
I know. I mean, we have a gym in our building. So,
oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they probably want to run outside. Running outside is sometimes more bearable than a treadmill.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. But not in the heat, let me tell you. Sometimes I see people hiking or... running in the heat. I'm like, how can they do this?
I went for a hike with my brother when he was here, and it was like, I think 100 that day.
Oh my God.
But honestly, like, I think you get in a zone. Like, it becomes like a meditative thing in a way, where you can get into it enough. And this is what happens, like, when people first start working out and they don't feel the benefits that people talk about feeling great after a workout or, you know, your energy's up or anything like that, because it takes time. And once you get to a certain point, you can almost, like, you know, pinpoint your focus and it becomes almost meditative, or you go into sort of a meditative state to kind of get through it. I used to do that. I used to be a long distance runner, and I would be running 5-6 miles a day.
Wow.
And I would just get into a certain state of mind after the first, like, half a mile. Mm-hmm. Once your heart rate gets up, it's easier. It's the first, like, probably 10, 15 minutes that's hard.
Gotcha.
And then I would just, I mean, there were days that I would run 10 miles.
Yeah.
It would take a long time, but I would do it.
But not in very hot weather, right?
Yeah, totally.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
Isn't it dangerous, though?
I mean, it can be. I just either wore a hat and... Mm-hmm. I mean, there's actually, when I went to Israel, they have a saying, I forget what it is though, but it basically says something that like the sun is gonna like eat your brain or something like that. I forget what it, how they said it in Hebrew though, but it was a saying basically like they made us wear hats the whole time.
Yeah.
Because the sun is so strong.
Right.
And it will literally like kill you through the top of your
fry
head.
Fry your brain.
Yeah.
I don't know that saying. If I did, I would tell you, but I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. Maybe it was a birthright thing.
Yeah. Or a more modern thing. Maybe, yeah, you know.
Maybe. But yeah, I thought it was funny because I loved it when I was there. I didn't even know we were in a heat wave. It was 115 degrees almost every day we were there.
Really?
Yeah. And they kept telling me, they were like, Jen, get out of the sun. And I was living in New York at the time. So I'm like, oh my God, we're in nature. And like, it's sun. Because in New York, you lose the sun at 3 o'clock because it goes behind the buildings.
Right.
So I was like sitting in the sun and I kept getting yelled at because I kept sitting in the sun. They were like, we're going to send you back to the bus if you don't get out of the sun. And I was like, wow. But
did you get to go to the beach at all when you were there?
We did. We went to the beach. Actually, we went to, I don't remember the last place we went to, but we were at a hotel at the beach, and the day after we left, it got bombed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit.
But the beaches there are very nice. You
yeah,
know
the
what
beach
mean?
Was really great.
It's unbelievable how great it is there.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It's the Mediterranean, you know, it's warm.
Yeah, it was warm.
You know,
warm.
The sand is very fine.
Yeah.
You know?
I wish I could have seen the Dead Sea, though, because of the heat wave, we couldn't go.
Yeah, it's too much there.
Yeah, because it could, they said it could scratch you or something like that.
Scratch you? What do you mean?
Like when you're getting out of the water, uh-huh. The salty, sandy water can kind of cut you a little bit if it's hot enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is amazing that you can float on it, though, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the lowest point on Earth, really.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so wild.
Yeah.
I'll go back one day and test it out. We were also supposed to go to Masada,
right,
which is where we're supposed to have like bar bat mitzvahs for those of us who hadn't had one. And it was too hot that day. So we did it in a clay cave.
Yeah.
Instead.
Because it's right there. It's at the Dead Sea, Masada.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's right there, yeah.
I don't know the geography that well.
Yeah.
But
what can you do?
Yeah, I had a great time though.
Good.
I love it there.
Yeah.
It's like being on another planet almost.
Yeah, it is, right?
Yeah, totally. You're like walking around and there's like, you see Hasidic Jews everywhere and they're in their full get-ups and, you know, it's just, you know, you don't really see that much here. You don't see people really dressing religiously here.
Right.
Yeah, and just
but it's
like,
not like you see them all over the place, you know, mostly like in Jerusalem or there's a couple of places where they congregate, you know.
Yeah.
But in Tel Aviv, you don't see it that much, you know. I mean,
no, it was like, I think Tel Aviv was kind of like the clubby kind of place.
Yeah, it's a secular place. It's really like a happening party place 24 hours a day.
We definitely partied there.
Yeah. People only go out at 11 o'clock at night, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we had so much fun, though. I love all, like, the daytime markets.
Yeah.
I brought so much, like, tea and so many herbs home and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it was great. And, like, the produce in other countries. Like, my roommate, for example, just got back from Italy. He was in Italy for 2 weeks, and he said all he did was eat pizza and gelato the whole time, and he lost weight. And
really?
It's like, yeah, because the food in other countries is just so much better for you than the food here in America because of the things
they do
to it.
Plus, he probably walked a lot, you know.
He did walk a lot,
yeah.
And
which that
helps,
yeah.
Yeah.
It really does. Here, we're like a car culture, so.
Oh, my gosh. We're a car culture. We're couch potatoes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, well. In a few minutes, we're going to have a couple of guests calling in. They made an interesting movie.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. Today's election day in California, on the recall of Governor Gavin Newsom, and we'll see if he manages to stay. The state is about 2/3 Democrats, so they're always the majority here. So I don't know if I have high hopes for it. I have high hopes, but I don't know that it necessarily will happen. They were asking people in San Francisco, which is his hometown.
Mm.
So people, you know, range from he's an A++ to get him out of here, you know. So
it's a very split Yeah. I honestly, I haven't met anyone who's been about keeping him.
Yeah, right? Even Democrats, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people are ready.
Yeah. And plus, you know, I mean, that video of him in the restaurant in the midst of the lockdown.
Oh, yeah, with no mask.
Right. They went to an expensive restaurant, no masks, no nothing, when they were telling us to stay at home. That really hit the nerve for a lot of people, yeah. You know. Also, the homelessness, you know, the bad things about California, people attribute to him, you know. I don't know if everything is attributable to him, but many of the things, you go to the boss, you know. The
I mean, that's where people get salty about things. People get salty because it's really important to actually lead by example, and not, people are more willing to go with it if they see the leaders actually doing it themselves.
Right.
But when people get salty is when the leaders or the wealthy people or whoever is in power is saying one thing and doing another.
Right.
And that's where people get frustrated, and then people almost don't even want to follow it then. Even people who would have been totally compliant with it now don't want to do that because they're like, well, if they're not doing it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And we've seen that a lot. I mean, you know, AOC, Alexandria, whatever his name is, Ocasek, they showed her in a picture at the Met Gala. I think it was last night or the night before. She was in this fancy dress. It's a $30,000 a plate gathering, fundraiser or something. And she was wearing a dress that said tax the rich. Now, this is a woman that constantly talks about people that don't have money and all this stuff. And then she goes with all this glamour and everything. This ruins their credibility, you know? I mean, they say one thing and do another, you know?
Yeah.
So, so you're right about that, you know? I mean, they have to set an example, and especially times like these, you know? And especially when they're like so adamant about their positions and everything, and then they come out to be phony, you know?
Yeah, so. And I think, look, I don't have a problem with people who have money. I just have a problem with, I mean, because I would like to be a person that has a lot of money one day too, you know? And I would like to, you know, I'm not someone who wants to live extremely lavishly, but if I went to the Met Gala, I would definitely be wearing a really nice gown or something, right?
Right.
And I would love to go to events where, you know, my plate was however much money it was and the money got donated to something that I give a shit about.
Right.
But where it starts to pinch is that people who have the most money are paying way less in taxes, and the people who don't have a lot of money or are living even middle class are paying more in taxes, and it's hurting people with less money. You know what I mean? Like someone like Jeff Bezos, you could take 3/4 of his money and he's still set for life.
Right. But I mean, but there's a lot of rich people that don't have a fraction of what he does, you know?
Of course, yeah.
But it's like, why punish the rich because they manage to know, to figure out how to make money, you know? But I'm talking about her who is constantly trying to teach us about, you know, and then,
no,
like, supposedly she's not rich or something, right?
Well, of course, she's got something.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think taxing is punishing, because otherwise, then I guess we're being punished.
Yeah, well, we are.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what tax is. I mean, let's tax the rich more, you know, I think it's unequal, you know. I mean, yes, the rich should pay more because if the percentage is higher, then they pay more, you know?
Sure.
And I don't think everybody gets out of paying high taxes. Maybe some people do, but most of them do not, you know?
Yeah, you got to really know the ins and outs.
Right.
Or know somebody who knows how to work that out for you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but I believe in everybody paying their fair share and everything. And
I agree.
You know? All right, here come our guests right now. So
Excellent.
We're going to pick it up. Bring up our notes and welcome our guests to the show. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, this is good. How are you? This is Chris.
Yes.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you? Is it?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. How do you pronounce your last name, Chris?
Margetis.
That's what I thought. Okay, cool. And are you the only one on the line, or is Mike Carey with you?
No, Mike. Well, you know what? Can he call in separately on this line or no? Or do I need to patch him in with me?
No, he can call here too. I can pick it up for him. Yeah. We can have both of you on the line.
Calling in on his own, then.
So you want to text him or something or?
I'm going to do it right now.
Okay, cool.
Wonderful. You have the voice of a cowboy, by the way.
What's that?
I said you have a voice of a cowboy, by the way. You sound like you have a very like Western film voice. I like it.
Why? Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, little lady, like tips your hat.
Hello, ladies. How are you guys doing today?
We're
Thank
good.
You so much for having us on.
Of course.
Chris, where are you calling us from this morning?
Well, so interestingly, I live in Seal Beach, California, but I'm actually in New York City right now.
Oh, wow.
So I'm calling from the Soho Grand in New York.
Do you know what that is, Jen?
I have no idea.
Really? The Soho Grand?
The hotel.
I'm at a hotel.
I asked her because she lived in New York.
As a vanity play, I flew to New York so I could see the movie in New York and in California.
That's cool.
And then we're doing a film fest in Chicago at the end of the week.
Oh, cool.
So you get to travel.
To
the big three, kind of.
So. Well, this is cool. So your movie, both of you, you wrote the movie, right? And you're also former wrestlers.
yes, a very long time ago.
Oh, it was a very long time ago? I see. Okay. So I never watched wrestling, so I don't know you, but the movie sounds fascinating, and I wanted to go over it with you. I guess it was released a couple days ago, right? September 10th?
Yes. Yeah, it got released on the 10th. We had a limited, like, 14-city theatrical release, and then, you know, VOD and iTunes and Amazon and all that fun stuff. So.
That's cool. The movie is called The Manson Brothers Midnight Zombie Massacre, and I think that tells a lot about the movie. it's a pretty good, pretty descriptive title for the movie.
if you see the title, you can be fairly certain you're not going to see like Amistad or Schindler's List or something like that. It is exactly what it sounds like.
No love story here, huh?
Yeah, no. There's girlfriends involved, but at that point the romantic part stops.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair. Girlfriends always die in the movies anyway, I feel like.
I don't want to spoil anything.
That's fair.
Yeah, you may find that pattern play out in this particular film as well. So
tell us a little bit about the plot of the movie. What's it about? What can we expect
to
see?
So my partner and I were, as you said, we're both professional wrestlers probably 25 years ago. And we were not the, superstar guys like The Rock or John Cena or anything like that. We were guys who were kind of, minor league baseball style, independent wrestling. Where you make $40 a night and drive 6 hours to a show, that kind of thing. So we set the world in that realm of independent wrestling. And basically what happens is we're old and we get, called back to do a show where we started our careers. And one of our buddies is taking a black market PED that winds up infecting him with a virus, that basically is kind of a form of rabies. And, hilarity ensues from there.
Wow.
so that's where the zombies come from.
Yes, exactly. And so basically what the plot is that we have to actually lock down the arena and keep all the people that are inside from getting out so that it doesn't start a worldwide. There's a buzzword that's been going around recently called a pandemic.
Yes, we've heard of that.
And we're trying to prevent a pandemic from happening. And believe it or not, we actually wrote this prior to the pandemic and shot it prior to the pandemic. So it's been interesting. And people are blaming us for the pandemic.
Now because, perfect.
We did that. Yeah.
It's the last thing anyone needs.
Yeah. Right. So the both of you wrote the movie. You also play in it. You star in it as the Manson brothers. And do you guys do any wrestling in the movie?
We do, actually, yeah. As a matter of fact, it was the first time I had been back in the ring in almost 18 years. It probably showed. it was extremely difficult. For, when I retired, I was in my early 30s. and now at 52, well, I was 49 when we shot the movie. So, you know, getting back in there to wrestle again was, it was interesting. And I think I'm still feeling it, honestly, from
really?
Two or three years later.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Is that when you shot the movie 3 years ago?
We shot it in mid-April to mid-May of 2019, just outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Cool.
What do you think was the hardest part of getting back in the ring?
The pain. We have a saying in wrestling called ring rust. When you come back, you got to scrape off the ring rust.
Right.
And after 18 years and you know, I let's put it this way. As an actor, I'd been trying for 18 years not to look like a wrestler. So then I had to go back to trying to look like a wrestler. And so all those things combined were, it was very, very hard. Very hard.
Yeah, wow.
But fun. It was fun, too. Yeah. So I will say that.
Yeah. Plus, you get a little up there in age, and you just don't fall the same way when you do fall,
No.
Right?
That's exactly right. The things don't move the same. They don't, and more importantly, they don't recover the same way.
Right.
They used to. So, yeah, it was, thank God we had a lot of Jack Daniels around to help out with the problems. But, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was very cathartic to kind of do it again in that sense. And interestingly, you know, the first take we ever did was in front of a huge crowd of people. So that was really cool. When it got bad was when they said, okay, let's do the next one. And by the way, nobody can cheer now. We need to keep it quiet the whole time. Mm-hmm. That was when it was really tough. And then we had to do like three more of those. So with every, you know, progressing shot, it got worse and worse.
Yeah.
And worse.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't have the energy from the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, the energy, and believe it or not, and you know what's interesting, like you watch sports and obviously home teams get energy. And even when you know what's going to happen, like in wrestling, the energy helps. It makes a huge difference.
Sure.
From the fans and the crowd, and it's amazing.
Right.
What kind of extra oomph it gives to you when you're doing it.
Right. Now, who came up with the idea for the movie? Was that like something that was mutual? Did you sit down and say, let's write a movie? Or was this like an idea that came up first and then you decided we're going to do something with it?
No, actually, my partner Mike and I, who again were, you know, we were actually the Manson brothers back, you know, 20 some odd years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had done a few independent films and he had been on a TV show. And he happened to be out in L.A. visiting Max Martini, who's our director, who's a veteran of films from, Pacific Rim to Saving Private Ryan to, I mean, the guy's been in everything. He's worked for every director.
Wow.
And we all got together, and Mike and I started talking, and it just got to the thing where we basically said, hey, we want to write a script, and we want to find the biggest possible demographic we can, right? Because obviously you want people to see the movie.
Right.
And you know, it was wrestling and zombies, and that Venn diagram was so bloated when we looked at it, it was like, this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
So we called on our old personas and came up with an idea to, you know, have a zombie outbreak, and, you know, again, hilarity and mayhem ensues from there. So
right.
That was the genesis of it.
Yeah. You're right about zombies, though. I mean, they make a lot of movies and a lot of books about it. Why do you think the fascination in this country with zombies? What's behind that?
You know, I think it's one of those things where people, you know, first off, any escape from reality, especially these days, is, I think, extremely cathartic for everyone, right?
Right.
And you know, we've all been locked down, and we've all been, and obviously the zombie genre was massive before that. But I think these days, with the way we're having to live our lives, it makes people think about, well, what would I do if it was worse than this? Like, how would it get, you know, worse? And I think the idea of the dead walking around and trying to eat your brains makes people think that what we're going through right now isn't all that bad.
That's true.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Wow.
I think a lot of people were anticipating that maybe that might be a possibility, both in the beginning of the pandemic and then again when the vaccines rolled out. Everyone's like, oh, are we all going to become zombies from COVID? And then they were like, are we going to become zombies from the COVID vaccine? So luckily neither 100%. Has happened. Yeah.
If you look, the CDC actually has a zombie apocalypse plan out. And and they did it because it was easier to get people to read that to prepare for something than it was to say, oh, if we have a smallpox outbreak or whatever, right. here's how you deal with it. I think people pay attention to that. And again, if it, listen, like I said before, our movie is not, Schindler's List, right? I mean, when you read the title, you know what you're going into. but if we can give somebody 90 minutes of escapism and that chance to have fun for that little period of time and put all this other stuff behind them,
right?
That's the biggest compliment in the world that right. we can get when someone just says, I had fun for an hour and a half.
Right.
That's all we're trying to do.
Right. Well, that kind of fun is relative because I personally, with the horror film, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'd have fun with it. I was watching the trailer and it's pretty gruesome, man,
Well, you know what? The trailer parts are the gruesome parts. I think you would actually enjoy yourself. It's filled with plenty of, hijinks and locker room comedy and all that kind of fun stuff. And,
right.
If you don't like it, I'll send you a t-shirt. I promise.
Well, it's not about not liking it, It's just, I'm not a big fan of horror films, so I'm not your target market, but I know many people love horror films,
I am target audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I want you both to watch it, so you can tell me if we even hit the non-target market. that would be wonderful. Yeah. You say, hey, I had fun for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Huge, no, absolutely. I mean, it got my attention there. My God, man. Chris, let's also give a shout out to a few of the people that helped you make the movie. You mentioned the director, Max Martini. Who else do we want to give a shout out to?
So first off, again, Max Martini, just an absolute, wonderful human being on top of being a great director, a phenomenal actor, and his experience in the industry is what kind of, really made this movie, I think, elevate, because he was able to get guys like Randy Couture, who is, probably one of the most famous MMA fighters of all time, if not the most famous.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Boss Rutten, another guy who, one of the best fighters that's ever lived. D.B. Sweeney, who's an amazing actor who's been in Eight Men Out and Fire in the Sky and Cutting Edge. Any female below the age of 50 years old has seen Cutting Edge and loved him in that. Yeah, and even more importantly, I think, are the unknown actors that Max got to be in this who are phenomenal. Guys like Jay Lund and Scott Peet, who just, really elevated the performances. And all the people who were willing to, my partner and I are complete unknowns. Guys who were willing to come in and act around us, to make a movie about zombies and wrestling actually better. Because as you can imagine, zombies and wrestling, most people probably don't think it's a well performed film. But I think those guys came in and just did such a phenomenal job. Our producer Mike Haggerty, our distributor with Gravitas, it's just been from top to bottom one of the. I've been fortunate to have a lot of great experiences in my life, and outside of being a parent, this was without a question the absolute highlight of my life.
Wow.
I think everybody who was involved, including the 60, 70 some people who worked in New Mexico, our crew, just everybody that was involved in it all around. It was just an absolutely wonderful experience.
Yeah. You're very fortunate to work with such a large, you've had large cast here, right? There's quite a few people in the movie. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, extremely fortunate. You hit the nail on the head. I'm blessed a million times over, from having done this project. It was, like I said, outside of being a parent, it's a highlight of my life.
Right. Well, Chris Margetis and your partner, Mike Carey, the movie is The Manson Brothers Midnight Zombie Massacre, and you can find it in theaters now and on demand, probably on all the popular platforms, right?
All of them. Anywhere you can buy or rent a movie, we're on.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Please, go out and buy or rent a movie.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Support filmmakers.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. That was amazing.
It was great talking with you guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it immensely.
Of course. And much more success to you in the future.
Thank you very much. Good day to everybody in LA.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Chris.
I think he hung up.
No, it wasn't him. Actually, his partner just called like as we were
hanging
like
up
2 seconds ago. Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, we tried.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like to hear about people that actually get to do what they love to do.
I know.
You know?
It's like such a breath of fresh air, but it's also like a little heartbreaking.
When you want to do it and it doesn't work out, right?
Or when you want to do it and you just haven't been able to get there yet.
Right, to break in.
Like, I'm kind of at a crossroads right now because, like, I've always fought to, like, have a steady job with as much income as possible. And, like, I grew up in a household where, like, money was a big argument a lot of the time.
Right.
So in my adult life, it's become, like, the center of, like, what's important. Like, I have the things that I love to do and want to pursue, but making money has always come first.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, that makes sense, right?
Right.
And so, like,
right.
I'm kind of at this crossroads now where, like, I have a couple people offering me full-time jobs that would lock me into 5 days a week doing things on the production side of thing, which I love to do, but this is also a prime opportunity for me to, you know, start hitting the ground with actually pursuing acting work. And so I've spent this past week since I've quit my job just applying for things, and I've had like more auditions than I can even like manage coming in my inbox, which has been awesome. So I'm like facing this like, okay, do I like make ends meet and do like background work for money in the meantime, a couple gigs here and there, and then keep pursuing this? Or do I get like a full-time day job?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like when you see people who are actually just going for it, I think that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Well, we wish you a lot of success too. I mean, you're obviously doing all the necessary work to get there, you know.
Thanks, and
persistent and everything. So
yeah,
you know, if you keep going and you don't quit, I think eventually you get to what you want, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
A little luck doesn't hurt.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did some really cool background work yesterday, actually, at this beautiful theater downtown. It's for, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this. I can't give you any details.
That's okay.
But, it's for Babylon, the new Margot Robbie, Brad Pitt film. And they had the coolest, like, crane camera that was in there. It was, like, the coolest piece of machinery. They had it, like, swinging across the entire room. It was really awesome.
Wow.
But that's all I
can say. Sometimes you wonder how they film all these things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, camera moves and things like that. You go, how do they do this?
So much equipment. And, like, what I love to see are, like, the Steadicam operators, which is, like, this guy that has this huge, like, vest harness on. And then these two big pieces of metal that go up and over his shoulder in front of him that hold the camera. So he's, like, walking around carrying the camera, supported by his entire body with, like, a vest.
Right. And the camera stays steady as he moves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a piece of equipment, though, you know, to carry that on you and then be able to run and...
That's why
things
they have
like
it
that.
Harnessed on you like that.
Yeah.
So you're not just like free holding it.
I know. And sometimes you have to go backwards and there's people that pull you backwards so you don't fall. And, and to show you which way to go and stuff.
And to keep people out of your way.
Right.
Yeah. It's like you have a whole bodyguard system.
Right. So think about all the things you have to focus on, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like actors, look, I'm an actor, so I get it. But like actors get so much credit for what they do as it's deserved. But honestly, the crew does not get enough credit. Like even down to PAs, like PAs, production assistant, if for those of you who don't know, like a film set couldn't run without PAs at all. And they're like the first ones there, the last ones to leave, you know, and their work day is longer than anyone's work day and they're getting paid the least. So it's like, honestly, like not enough people shout out the crew, not enough people shout out, like, you know, the camera decisions and the lighting crew and all of that. And that's all part of like the director of photography's job too. But I don't know. I just crew is just, they really put in so many hours. Like, yeah. Their work day is insane.
That's true, yeah. No, I mean, it requires a big team of people to pull it off, you know? I mean, it's not just one or two people can do this, you know?
I know.
So it's like a business, right? I mean, it's just like you're working on a product or something, you know, and you're creating it.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. But I can see why people enjoy this kind of work, because it's fun.
It's so fun.
You know, it's hard, but it's fun.
It's hard, it's fun, and like, look, there's like set etiquette, but like yesterday, I love watching like the head of departments discussing things. That's like one of my favorite things.
Right.
Just because of their like demeanor. I've always loved the demeanor of people in the film industry, because they're just so like blatant about what they have to say. And I really appreciate that. And like, you always kind of know how they're feeling, because they'll roll their eyes. They'll tell you if they're disappointed. They'll tell you if they're happy about it. I just love it.
Yeah.
I love just the way people communicate on like a good set.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, that's awesome. You know, and we're in Hollywood too, where everything's happening, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the film industry has kind of come back, right?
From
the
pandemic. It's on its way. Yeah. Honestly, like, it's a great time to be non-union. Mm. So for anyone who doesn't know, there's like SAG, which is the union. SAG-AFTRA were actually two separate companies that combined years back. And then there's non-union work. And to be in the union, you have to have certain credentials. Like, you have to have 3 waivers, or you can get Taft-Hartley, which is when, you know, you get cast on a film that is SAG and you're not SAG, and someone on the production really wants you in the film, so they do what's called a Taft-Hartley, and they basically get you your SAG card and pay for it, pretty much. But yeah, there's more non-union work right now, so more people who are non-union are working.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
What about the people that are union? I mean, don't they get irritated?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a great time to be SAG. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, some people are working, but SAG stuff is slowly coming back. Non-union stuff has kind of been working all along for the most part.
Is that more like for independent films and things like that? I mean,
yeah, more independent.
Major films wouldn't go outside of SAG, right?
No, definitely not. So it would be more like independent stuff, some commercials, you know, voiceover stuff.
Right.
I think that's a separate union, actually.
Right.
But yeah.
Wow. Hmm. Interesting.
There's so many ins and outs.
Yeah.
So many.
And there's so many people fighting for these parts, you know?
I know.
Jeez.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. But you chose it, even though it's hard, because you really want to do it.
Honestly, like, I don't really think about it in terms of competition.
Right.
I just don't. Like, I'm either going to get picked for the job or I'm not.
Right. Yeah, it's got to be like, you got to fit what they're looking for, not because you're like better or nicer or better looking.
Right.
They're looking for something specific.
Exactly.
Just like with any job, with any position, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they want to find qualifications. You got to look the part. You got to act the part, you know? And so that's why, you know, if you don't get picked, it's not necessarily because you did something wrong.
Sure.
You know?
It's true. And honestly, like, if you take every rejection so seriously,
right,
it's just, like, this is hard to hear, but it's just not the business for you.
Right.
You know, if you can't adjust your scope, like, every acting coach I've had has been like, go to the audition, leave and forget about it.
Yeah.
Go to the audition, leave and forget. Send it in and forget about it, you know?
Right.
So that way when things do come back, they'll call you 2 or 3 weeks later and be like, hey, we want to hire you for this gig. And you're like, wait, which one was it?
Yeah.
You know, versus spending that whole 3 weeks being like, the first week is probably, oh my God, they didn't get back to me. I guess like I'm not good enough. And then the next 2 weeks, like, you know, you're just like thinking about it. You don't need negative thought. Negative thought is never going to help you.
Right.
It's not going to help you. So it's better to just, you know, be positive about it, send in the audition, and then just keep it moving.
Yeah. It's a numbers game, like everything else, you know, you gotta try in many different places, you know, until something sticks.
The average is 1 in 70.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's huge. You know? That's huge.
That's pretty competitive.
Yeah.
In other news, I'm trying not to bring up negative news, so no politics.
That's
and
fair.
And unfortunately, everything today is politics. You know, you can't get away from it. Yeah. And I'm just tired. I'm like, you know.
So some good news I heard yesterday was Jeff Bridges had cancer, which I didn't know about, but he's in remission.
Oh, really?
So that's great.
Yeah.
Congrats, Jeff thing. Bridges. We love you.
Yeah. But I did want to bring this up because it's pretty important. Instagram acknowledges that their app can harm teens' self-esteem. According to a report, more than 30% of teen girls who felt bad about their bodies said Instagram made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people really have to think about that, you know, when they spend their time on there.
I mean, there's a woman I follow named Dana Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fairly thin woman, but what she does is she shows like all of her cellulite and things like that, so that and like she'll do a pose so she looks really perfect and thin, right. And then she'll relax so that you can see what her stomach looks like relaxed, what her thighs look like relaxed, like flat on a surface, and she kind of shows you how. You know, a lot of these photos that girls are posting are highly posed, highly edited, and it's not the real version.
Right.
Of them.
It's not real, you know?
Yeah.
And it used to happen even before Instagram with advertising, you know?
Magazines, yeah.
Right. They would do the same thing, you know? And girls aspire to be like that, and it's next to impossible.
Yeah.
It's not human.
No, it's not human.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, and you know, at these ages, when they're in their teens, they're so impressionable, you know, and wanna be loved and looked at and everything and admired,
sure.
And they feel less than, you know.
Yeah, they don't feel desirable, and like, I totally get that. Like my age group grew up seeing Nicole Richie and the Olsen twins, and it was all about like borderline anorexia. Like if you like, we strive to be anorexic. We were jealous of people who are anorexic, and that's like an illness, you know, like people really really struggle with that. It's not a bright and shiny thing. It's right. Not it's not like, oh yay, I'm skinny. Like those girls are still suffering even when they're at their lowest weight,
right.
And they have to be hospitalized sometimes and they die from it sometimes.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know, just growing up having nowadays, because I feel like people more are striving for a more athletic kind of body. Or at least like a healthier athletic body. So now when I see pictures of what we worshipped back in the early 2000s, I'm like, oh my God, these girls look sick, you know?
Yeah.
And then I feel bad for them, and I feel bad for my past self and, you know, all the other girls that were screwed up by that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, they chose many of these anorexic girls to be models, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at them and you go, she doesn't look right. She doesn't look healthy.
Yeah. I mean, in the 90s, it was the drugged out look.
Yeah.
It was pale with like kind of dark circles, really hyper skinny, and a cigarette. You know what I mean? Like it was smoking was idolized. Being anorexic was idolized.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. That's interesting you bring up the smoking, because the other day I was watching an old Mission Impossible. It used to be on TV, a series. And the guy's in the elevator, and he lights up a cigarette.
Isn't that so
crazy? Inside the elevator.
Yeah.
And it was acceptable.
I know. People used to, we had smoking on set yesterday for the scene, and it's like we were in an indoor location, and I'm like, it's so crazy. I'm like choking here, you know? Like, how did people just, my dad had a doctor's office. He used to smoke in his office.
Yeah, yeah,
all
doctors.
The time. That's insane.
Isn't
That's
it?
So crazy, you know? And it was funny looking around at all the other background people, especially the younger people, like the Gen Zers, like the kids 25 and under. They almost like didn't know how to hold a cigarette. Like I would see them smoking it and I could just tell that they didn't know what they were doing at all, which was really funny because their generation smokes less than any generation before.
That's true, yeah.
You know, my sister's generation smoked so much.
Yeah. I know, mine too.
So crazy.
Yeah.
It was just like the thing. And now that we know so much, we're like, why?
Yeah.
No, I know. Well, once in a while.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, if I were, if I wasn't that concerned about my health, I'd still be smoking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the stroke that made me stop, you know. And
yeah.
So that's a good thing, you
it's
know.
It's a good thing.
Because it's not good for your body. And when you start adding up the cigarettes and it becomes like hundreds and thousands of cigarettes.
It's money.
You go, wow,
like
you know.
Smell and it leaves like.
Yeah.
You know, you just like have this like. I remember when my dad smoked, his hands, even after he washed them, smelled like smoke.
Right.
You know. And you're such a like a pristine person. Like you're always like so sanitized and bathed. I just feel like smoking shouldn't be part of your life.
But you know what? The thing is this. To be fair though. People would tell me sometimes, God, you don't stink like smoke like some people do.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't know, maybe it was the way I smoked. Maybe it was the cigarettes themselves. I don't know what it was. I mean, I believe my kids told me, you know, you smelled like cigarettes all the time.
Sure.
But sometimes it's really bad to the point where they stink a room.
Yeah.
A whole room.
Yeah.
You know, and that's bad.
That is bad.
You know, and then if they don't take a shower or something and they keep smoking, man.
I remember some guy on set last week, he came a little too close. And if I can smell your breath, you're too close to me.
Right.
And he just like, he didn't even smell like he freshly smoked. He smelled like I could smell the inside of his lungs almost when he was breathing. Like I could just smell they were so charred.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, get a grip.
I know. It's just that when you smoke, you don't smell it, you know? You don't realize how bad it is for other people.
It's like if I have a cocktail, sometimes I like to have one.
Yeah.
I probably have like maybe one or two cigarettes a year, if that.
You know? That's funny that you would, though, you know?
You know, every now and again.
I mean, you're not a smoker. Why would you even do that?
I don't know. It's just sometimes with a glass of champagne or a vodka soda.
Booze makes you want to smoke,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, booze makes me want to smoke. And I don't drink that much, so I don't smoke that much. But I try and avoid it. Honestly, it's easier to avoid it out here. People smoke less here than they do in New York. Everyone smokes in New York.
Yeah. Everyone smokes everywhere except here, you know? We're very health conscious and stuff here, you know. That's why there's a lot of restaurants they don't have here, you know, like I don't know, like places where the food's fattening and stuff, you know. So there's less places like that, you know, or parts of the city where there's, you know, like I think there's parts of the city where people are healthy and some parts where they're not as healthy and so forth, you know. So it's like you go and there's not like anything like here on the boulevard, here on Ventura Boulevard, there's not that much fast food at all.
No,
you know?
There's like a Taco Bell.
Right. You know, or McDonald's here and there, but that's about it.
But they're really
know?
Spread out. But when you go to certain neighborhoods, there's a lot of fast food.
Right.
Like there will be like a Burger King, a Domino's.
They're all concentrated in the same place.
In the same place. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, LA has changed quite a bit when it comes to that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I love that there's a lot of different restaurants here with a lot of different food options, and there's pretty much healthy options everywhere.
Right.
New York is very, like, it's really hard to find healthy options. Like, you go into, like, there's a million bars and pubs that are literally replicas of each other, and all of them have the exact same menu. Like, the healthiest thing on the menu that's also the only vegetarian thing on the menu is, like a Mediterranean vegetable sandwich with like balsamic dressing on it. Blah. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And they do it like in a wrap. No.
Salad in a wrap.
Ugh.
Oh, well, I love salads, but it doesn't sound good as a sandwich.
No.
Unless you have something in it, you know?
Yeah.
In addition to the salad.
I mean, it's just like sliced eggplant and like undercooked zucchini on a sandwich with grill marks on it.
I see.
And balsamic dressing.
So not salad like tomatoes and cucumbers and all that stuff. Okay.
Not like a Mediterranean salad.
Okay.
Just Mediterranean vegetables.
Whatever. I see.
Ugh.
Oh, well.
It's always the worst sandwich ever.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are out of time.
Are we?
Jen, thank you so much for always joining me.
Of course.
Sharing the fun here in the studio.
Yes.
We want to thank the Manson Brothers for calling in. And go check out their movie, The Manson Brothers Midnight Zombie Massacre.
I look forward to it.
You can see the trailer on YouTube if you just put in the name.
Perfect.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.